good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
I had to think a second there. What day is it? But it's Wednesday because it's being Verbis Day.
It's middle of the week. We're halfway through the week.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if that matters to anybody. It doesn't matter to me. Every day we just take as it comes, you know.
That's it.
And just rejoice and be glad in it because we know it is a day that who made, Brian?
Jesus made it.
God made it. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And I'm so thankful that, you know, he give us another day to lift him up, another day to praise him, another day to live for him.
Yes.
So live for him today.
That's right.
And of course, Bing is wearing my favorite shirt, God's Got This.
Oh, yes, yes.
I love that shirt, God's Got This.
June Gardner from our church, she has made these, and there are so many people in our church that are wearing those on a Sundays.
I love it.
Yeah.
I do.
And then when you get up there and you pray with people, a lot of times you'll just say, hey, you know, God's got this, you know.
Amen.
Sure does.
It's a true one. I like it.
Appropriate, for sure.
It is. Well, beautiful morning. Yes. Of course, now, in our area, we had a little rain. I know.
Yeah, you said you got a downpour.
You acted like you was a little disappointed.
We didn't. As far as I know, in Clarksville, we didn't. Now, maybe in my section of Clarksville, we didn't, and maybe parts of Clarksville did.
Yeah.
But I was really hoping for it.
I know. You was planning on it. But who knows? You might get some today.
Yeah.
You know, but where are we going to pick up at from?
Well, the last time we were together, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Okay.
And we got as far as 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11.
Okay.
And we were looking at the gifts that every believer in Jesus Christ receives from the Holy Ghost. And that's where you can turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13, really 12, is where we will start this morning. But there's a lot of good stuff in it.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to see some more things about the gifts. We're going to see how they should be used, the appropriateness of each one of them. Mm-hmm. We're going to understand that these gifts are never given to us that we can hoard them for ourselves.
Sure.
They're given to us to give and freely as we have received them. So, yeah.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Matthew 25:46, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." A two-stone epitaph reads, "Paul, stranger, when you pass by me, as you are now, so I once was. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." A passerby read those words underneath and scratched this response, "To follow you, I'll not consent until I know which way you went." As this little wittyism suggests, we need to be careful as to who we follow. We will die. However, we have an eternal destiny. If you die tonight, would you go to heaven or to a devil's hell? Follow the Lord. Call on him, and he will give you eternal life.
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
To exalt King Jesus, missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch on this Wednesday.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Uh-huh.
Before we start, I'd like to pray. Father, we ask that whatever we say today over these airwaves will reach and touch people and do things that we can't even imagine they'll do. You know, your spirit has the power to transform lives, has power to bring people who are dead in trespasses and sins into becoming a new creature. Your word, Lord, can show people that there is nothing that they're facing that is impossible. Nothing, because God, you are the God of solving things that are impossible. There's nothing impossible for you, and we ask, Lord, that your word will go out this morning and not come back void, and have your way, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we did talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit the last time we were together, Brian. And like we said before the break, we learned that our gifts are to be used freely, not for ourselves. They weren't given to us to use for ourselves, but for every person we encounter. And that is in the church. In the church, it's really edification, instruction, encouragement, and then also out of the church. And we use that for evangelism. We count on the Holy Spirit to speak through us and to make things clear to folks that we run across who don't know the gospel, don't yes. know Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We learned that every member of the church is using, when they're using his or her gifts in such a way, the church becomes more whole, more complete, mm-hmm. and becomes more of a force. greater the number of people who are using their spiritual gifts, the greater the force is going to be. Yes. And it will effectively build the kingdom of God here on earth in their immediate area, in their city, in their state, and it'll just spread and go to the four corners of the earth. Mm-hmm. We also learn that these gifts are valueless if they're not exercised in something that should blanket everything, and that's the agape love of God. Yeah. Because we learn that prophecies will one day fail, and we were told tongues will one day cease. We were told knowledge, speaking of the earthly knowledge that we acquire while we are doing God's kingdom's work here on earth, will one day vanish. But it says this agape love of God will never fail. It will transfer. It will transfer into eternity. When all these other gifts, there's no need anymore. Mm-hmm. Because we'll be in eternity, the agape love of God will transfer into eternity with us. So, having said that, picking up in 1 Corinthians 13:12, we are told, "For now we see through a glass darkly."
Mm-hmm.
Do we know everything yet?
We do not.
We do not. Mm-mm. Because we're presently immersed in this earthly knowledge. I mean, we're receiving heavenly knowledge and understanding from the Holy Spirit, but we are also immersed with a lot of this stuff that just doesn't matter.
True.
But then face-to-face, as the verse continues, promising us a time when we will receive heavenly knowledge and we will have no more need for the earthly knowledge. Verse 12 continues with, "Now I know in part," we know enough to get us through, "but then shall I know even as I also am known." And that's speaking of the days when we will have the mind of, not Brian Sidebottom, not Bing Burbus, we'll have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That's right. That's Amen. Right. And we will know as we know, as we are known. Now, verse 13 tells us, "And now, while we're still alive on this earth, abideth faith, hope, and love."
Mm-hmm.
These three. And it goes on to say, "But the greatest of these is love."
Mm-hmm.
So, when we step into heaven, we will know it was our faith in Jesus Christ that got us there. Nothing else. It's nothing else. It's what Jesus has done, and we believe what he has done, and we are there because of that. When we step into heaven, our hope will be completely fulfilled.
Amen.
When we step into heaven, we will fully understand that the agape love of God that we got a glimpse of, mm-hmm. that we knew in part here upon the earth,
mm-hmm.
Is the love that got us there and is the love that we will bask in throughout all eternity. We will be in the presence of the agape love of God for all eternity.
Amen.
That is such a huge
Amen.
Blessing, and it just mm-hmm. makes me want to be there.
Amen. Yes.
So with that summary, listen to what 1 Corinthians 14:1 tells us as we enter into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. "Follow after charity." Again, charity is a King James word. It's another word for this kind of love, agape love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really neat that he uses charity, because charity is something that you just give. You can't yes. help. You just give it.
Yes.
And that agape love is that same. There's no conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You just give it. So while we're alive on this earth, we must have faith in Jesus Christ that God is in control, and we must learn, and it's a process, to love others as God loves others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have lessons in that every day. I do. You know, it's to have an unconditional love for others. That's huge, Brian.
Well, you know, you think about love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our neighbors are not the most loving people. Some people have bad neighbors.
That's right.
And that would be really hard if you had a bad neighbor, to love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right. That's right. We are still looking through the glass darkly. We do not have the mind of Christ.
Uh-uh.
We have our mind, and then we also have the Holy Spirit trying to get us there.
Yes.
It is a daily process. It's something that we must learn daily, and we are going to be tested while we're alive on this earth.
Always.
But we must do what Jesus would do, and Jesus would unconditionally love those people around him, no Amen. Matter how hateful, how spiteful. Amen. Well, we saw an example of it right before he was crucified. Yeah, the night before, they spit on him, they beat him, they slandered him, Pilate whipped him mercilessly.
Yes.
And Herod humiliated him, Caiaphas, Annas. We just get our example from Jesus Christ.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what we must do, because Jesus said they're going to persecute me. They persecuted me, and they're going to persecute you.
That's right.
We got to put that on our radar. So we must have hope in things to come concerning the things which we now cannot see, but must believe by faith. They are there at the end of this life. I believe the heavenly city is there at the end of my life. I believe there's a room there made for me, because Jesus told me he's preparing a place for me.
Amen.
And it will be made visible for all the children of God to see and experience as soon as we breathe our last breath. Mm-hmm. But while we're alive on this earth, in our physical bodies, we're told here, and this is a huge key, the huge strategy, the huge plan of God, follow after love.
Amen.
We must earnestly pursue God's love in order to have the correct view of all mankind. We can see there's evil. We can see there's wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
But while they are living and breathing upon this earth, we need to learn to love them. They are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. God loves them. We must love them. And just do all that we can do to just show that love.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to have our heart in tune to effectively love others the way God loves others, to effectively have concern for others the way God has concern for others, and to effectively bring, hopefully, there will be a time and a place to do this, the good news of Jesus Christ to others, the spiritually dead in this world. All of this, has to be built upon the agape love if we're going to make an impact.
Amen.
You know, we've talked about this before. You cannot hammer people. You cannot pound them over the head. You cannot drag them to the cross.
Mm-mm.
You love them. You love them as Jesus would love them.
Amen.
And speak truthfully to them. Okay, so the agape love of God looks past the color of man's skin.
Mm-hmm.
The agape love of God can bear all and any insults, ridicules, and persecutions that we as followers of Jesus Christ will receive. And the agape love of God can even bear if we look to our example of being nailed to the cross and dying at the hands of rebellious and sinful mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 14:1, all Christians must seek God's love. And then he goes on to say, and desire spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We desire them that we can be more effectual in the world.
Yes.
Spiritual gifts, as we read in the previous chapter, that are available to all born-again Christians. You must be born again to receive these spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Our spiritual gifts have to be given to us by God to share with others and to build up the body of Christ. You will receive no spiritual gift. I believe this. You will receive no spiritual gift if you desire a spiritual gift only to claim or you've achieved a higher level in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You will receive no spiritual gift if you desire to use that spiritual gift solely for your own purposes. Spiritual gifts, as we said, are freely given by God so that we may freely give them to others. And the best and most pure motive to share what we have been given is to bask it, to steam it, to roast it in the agape love of God for others. So verse 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. That's what it says. And then it says, but rather that ye may prophesy. So it says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. That's interesting. Why would you rather have the gift of prophecy above all the other spiritual gifts? I believe because prophecy was in the Old Testament, and prophecy is also in the New Testament today, which is a verbal sharing with others what God has personally done for you or revealed to you. Prophecy today would be something that God has shown you that is too good to keep for yourself.
Right.
Prophecy today would be something God has shown you that when being led by the Spirit will be shared with others at the appropriate time, the appropriate place. 1 Corinthians 14:2 tells us of a spiritual gift in contrast to prophecy that cannot always be beneficial to others.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to say this, and after this verse, we'll go to the pen from the heart. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. And then it goes on to say, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. This tells us when you possess the gift of tongues and when you verbally express that gift, the conversation is between you and who, Brian?
God.
That's God. That's right. And we'll leave it off there until we hear from many of our faithful listeners who encourage us with these letters.
Amen.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, we have Missionary Radio on 24/7. We love the station. From Nebo, God bless each of you in your wonderful ministry telling the world about our Jesus. Blessings. From a Madisonville listener, I love your station. And also from Clarksville, thank you for all you do. Love you all.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7. Missionary Radio.
Of course, Bing Burberstein with us on this Wednesday.
Yes. Welcome back. We were, before the break, talking about the gift of tongues, and when you verbally express that gift, we are told in Scripture that conversation is between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Again, just like prophecy, when the Spirit comes upon you and you verbally express what is being revealed to you by God, in that moment there is a conversation going on. But those around you, if you have the gift of tongues, they're not going to understand that conversation. Mm-hmm. Verse 3 says, 14:3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. So he that prophesieth, when he speaks, is speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort, which tells us the gift of prophecy will be understood and will always be a benefit to those who are in your presence and listening to this Spirit speak through your gift. Verse 4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth who? Well, the verse tells us, himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he that prophesieth edifieth who? And the verse completes it by saying, the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why Paul says in verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. He would love for everyone to have these gifts. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except, there is a case of an exception, except that person with the gift of tongues has the gift of interpretation of tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there is a time when a person with the gift of tongues can be a benefit to the whole church around him. And that would be when this person who has the gift of tongues also possesses the gift of interpretation of tongues. So there's two different gifts there.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that the gift of tongues needs that. It needs a check and a balance. Most of the time in churches that I've seen, and I know you've seen also,
yes.
When someone is speaking in tongues, there comes up somebody right there who will interpret exactly what he's saying. So it's like you have these two people in agreement. One person understands exactly what he's saying, and he's showing the congregation exactly the interpretation.
I've also noticed that there's sometimes when the tongues come that the same person that speaks in the tongues interprets the tongues.
Well, then he would have, or she would have both of those gifts.
Both gifts, yeah.
And that would be perfectly, you know, biblical. It's perfectly according to the Word of God. So there is a time, as you said, the person with the gift of tongues can benefit the whole church around him. And that would be when that person who has the gift of tongues also possesses the gift of interpretation of tongues. So, as the verse continues, that the church may receive edifying. Mm-hmm. It takes that interpretation mm-hmm. for the church to understand and receive the edifying.
Yes.
The person that has the gifts of tongues and is not the gift of interpretation when engaged in this verbal conversation with God has no way of sharing any of this conversation, sharing any of this revelation, or any of the mysteries that he's receiving from God to the church, okay? So there has to be a safeguard with this gift. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 14:6 says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you?" And the answer will be, no profit, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life giving sound, now here's an example. Whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. Now you know a harp makes a distinct sound.
Oh yes.
You know that a flute makes a distinct sound, mm-hmm. a piano or a guitar. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? Now, what would be an example of what Paul is saying here about this trumpet? Well, the general on a battlefield would give the signal to charge. Mm-hmm. He would tell the trumpeter to blow the trumpet, and when he blows the trumpet, what would happen if the sound of harp strings came forth when he blew that? Would the army know what to do?
They would be confused.
I think that's a very good example. Very good example. Verse 9 says, "So likewise," and this is pertaining to the things with life-giving sound, "except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." That's exactly what that army would do. Harp strings? What are we supposed to be doing? You know?
What are we supposed to
be doing? Yeah, so it would be just like playing a harp in the air. It's just we go in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever been a place where people don't speak English, Brian, and you try to make a conversation with them?
Yeah, I've got a boss like that sometimes. He'll speak to me in Spanish, and I'm like, goodness. What is he talking about?
Oh, boy, I'm looking at him,
whatever you say.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
I've been to some Korean service, and it's just hard.
I bet.
So it's almost like... It's almost like speaking into the air. There's no way you will understand, or you will understand them. Uh-huh. They will understand you. Verse 10 says, "For there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world," or we could say there are so many different languages in the world today, "and none of them is without signification." In other words, all those languages are intelligible to those who speak those languages.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 14:11 says, "Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto them that speaketh a barbarian, you know, someone who just doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me."
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to be communication.
Mm-hmm.
"Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts," and then he goes on to say this, "seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, this clearly tells us it is possible for those who have the gift of tongues, when the Spirit comes upon them, they do have an undeniable conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
but may not even understand themselves the revelations, the mysteries, the conversation that is taking place, unless they also have the gift of interpretation. I talked to a man years ago who said he didn't speak in tongues, but he sang in tongues. There were times in the past he sang in tongues. He was driving his truck, and he was singing. He was listening to the radio, I take it, and was singing along with it. And then he started to sing in tongues. And I asked him, what were you singing? He said, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So there's that possibility.
Sure.
And that's what verse 15 alludes to. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. These are two gifts together. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Okay, so that's what you want. But without these two gifts together, the gift of tongues or the interpretation of tongues, verse 16 says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So you see, there is a safeguard for these particular gifts in the church. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified because he doesn't understand the thing you're saying.
Right, right.
And another example, this would be like attending a Hispanic service and listening to someone pray, or attending a Korean service, as I example, and listen to the pastor pray, and you just don't understand what they're saying. How will you follow along? How will you know when to say it's time, when it's time to say amen? So, having said all that, 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul tells us, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Okay. So whatever the gift of tongues is, Paul had it. He continues in verse 19, yet in the church, now listen to this, this is a man who had that gift, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding. That's kind of saying, Paul's saying that even when he speaks in tongues sometimes, he's not understanding it. I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So Paul is saying, you have to understand these gifts. You have to realize what they can do and what needs to be in place before they can edify anyone else.
Yes.
In other words, don't be little school children. Don't have that kind of understanding. Brethren, be not children in understanding is what he said. Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In malice, he wants you to be infants who cannot speak or who know nothing of what malice even is.
Yeah.
But in understanding, he wants you to be people of maturity so that you may grow in that maturity. And now's a good time for us to go to
Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope. Johnny's got a very encouraging word about Psalm 46 today.
And you know the verse by heart, I'm sure. You've repeated time and again when facing a tough situation, like when you hear awful news from your doctor, you think it's all over. But if you have your wits about you, you eventually turn to that encouraging first verse in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Now, I can say for sure, nothing is more suffocating, more soul-stifling than feeling that's it. Life's over. Things are never going to be the same. I mean, cancer could make you feel like that, or perhaps a crippling chronic condition. You go through one specialist after another, exhausted, and when you've tried every option, it's despairing to think you've come to the end of your rope with no aid in sight. And you wonder, where's God? Why hasn't he given relief or hope or help? It's demoralizing to feel as though he's off somewhere, distracted by the needs of other more obedient saints. But have you stopped? I mean, stopped. And waited upon the Lord, quietly brought your need to him, and have looked to him in the middle of the mess? Hopelessness breeds when we fail to sense God's hand in the hardship, or the presence of his help. But true biblical hope is built on fact, and the fact is, God never, ever becomes distracted from your life. He never takes time off from tending to your needs. When troubles come, God does not back away to allow Satan to have a free hand. He never takes his hands off the wheel of your life for a nanosecond. In fact, Psalm 46 verse 1 is your assurance that not only is the help of God available and accessible at all times, but here's the kicker, as Charles Stanley would say, now listen up, God himself is the always present help in every trial. He doesn't just give help when you are in need. He is the help. And I love the way Paul David Tripp puts this wonderful fact. He writes, God understands the darkness that we face. He is right there in it with us, an ever-present help in trouble. The Lord of light is your friend in darkness. The Lord of life stands by you in death. The Lord of hope is your companion in your despair. The Prince of Peace supports you when no peace can be found, and the God of all comfort waits faithfully near you. The source of all joy is close by when death has robbed you of joy. Oh, friend, when we're the ones to receive a medical report that's bad or devastating news about the future, when we're the ones who hit rock bottom or are up against a wall, we are such easy prey for the lies of the adversary. When we're emotionally distraught, we believe the lie that says that God has become a casual observer, standing at an arm's length distance from your pain. So take a moment today to write out Psalm 46, verse 1, and underline the verb, God is your ever-present help, always much nearer than you think, with his help and his hope. For when he gives you relief, he's giving you himself. And God can do no more than that. If he has given himself, he's given you everything. So pray with me right now, would you? Jesus, you're my refuge and my strength. When troubles assault me, I never be deceived into thinking that I am beyond your tender compassion. Oh, Jesus, thank you for always being an ever-present help in my trials. In your name, amen.
Hi, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio, and we just want to say thank you to every faithful listener who gives, prays, and stands with us. Your partnership is why the gospel is on the air right now. You may never meet the lives you've touched, the truck driver who gave his life to Jesus, the single mom who sings along with her kids, the person who found peace at 2 in the morning through a worship song. That's because of you. But summer's here, and like many ministries, giving slows down. In some areas, it's down by 50%. Would you consider becoming a new partner today? Or if you've given before, would you give again so the message continues? You can give safely at missionary.radio or mail your give to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Together, we're sharing the love of Jesus, one song, one soul at a time. Thank you for making it possible.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
Hold on a second. There we go. That's
all
my fault.
All right.
That was my fault. Operator
error. Speaking in the air, that's what I felt like. All right. We're in 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to be in pick up in verse 21. And this is something that Paul is speaking to his people, the Jews, really. It says, in the law, and when you talk about the law, you're speaking about the Jewish law, when Paul is speaking about it, it is written. It says this, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Okay? That's saying, with men of other tongues and other lips, not the Jewish people, but men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. That's God speaking to the people today in this world. Mm-hmm. And yet, for all that will they not hear me, not all of them are going to hear me, saith the Lord. Now, the law was a term used by the Jews to express the whole scriptures of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Okay, it consisted of everything that is in our Bible today, but it doesn't have the New Testament. It's all Old Testament writings. Old Testament laws, Old Testament songs and psalms and praises. Now, after Jesus was resurrection, when he appeared to the two disciples returning to Emmaus from Jerusalem, he said unto them in Luke 24:44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Mm-hmm. So everything in all the ancient Jewish writings pointed to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay? But the Jews didn't recognize Jesus as their Messiah when he came and walked and talked and dwelt among them for 3 years, or had his ministry for 3 years. The Jewish people, instead of embracing him, what did they do? They crucified him.
Yeah.
They crucified him on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian, this didn't take God by surprise. Did God know this was going to happen?
Oh, yes.
He knew it was going to happen.
Oh,
he
yes.
orchestrated it. How do we know he knew it was to happen? Because even this, the death of his son, was foretold by the prophets mm-hmm. who were inspired mm-hmm. by God to write these things down. So,
right.
yeah, he orchestrated it all. The prophet Daniel even told us how many years it would be after the rebuilding of Jerusalem following the Babylonian exile. He told us how many years it would be before they crucified him. Jesus even told the Jewish leaders in a parable, and we're going to go into a parable found in Matthew 21:33, that before they killed him, what they were going to do to him mm-hmm. and what the result would be because of what they would do to him. Now, if you're there and you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew 21 and pick up in verse 33. Matthew 21:33 tells us this, and Jesus is speaking to the Jewish leaders. He says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder mm-hmm. which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower, and he let it out to husbandmen. And then he went into a far country." Now, this is a picture of when God brought the Jewish people into the promised land. He established them there. He protected them there. And then stepping back to see what fruits they would produce for his kingdom on earth as a result of them following his laws, following his commandments, and walking in obedience to him. That's mm-hmm. what his plan was. He put them there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 34 continues, "And when the time of the fruit drew near, he," God, "sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another." So whenever the children of Israel strayed away from following God and looked to the false gods and looked to the false idols of the nations around them, God would send them prophets to correct them.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the children of Israel would not listen to God through the prophet's voice or through the prophet's signs.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, many of the prophets were beaten, imprisoned, or killed. Verse 36 says, "Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise."
Mm-hmm.
He sent them prophets upon prophets upon prophets, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." Well, that's true. One day the Jewish people will reverence his son,
mm-hmm.
but not while Jesus was alive on the earth and walking among them. Now, this is speaking of when, in the fullness of time, Jesus, their Messiah, was sent to his people. Verse 38, "But when the husbandmen saw the son," speaking of the Jewish leaders here, "they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, mm-hmm. let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance.' And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard. They took him outside the walls mm-hmm. of Jerusalem and slew him."
Mm-hmm.
So what does this foretell? Well, it was a prediction of Jesus' crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And it is followed by this question found in Matthew 21:40. And it says this, "When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?"
Mm-hmm.
And then in Matthew 21:43, Jesus told these same men, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof." In short, God chose the Jews to be the light to the rest of the world to do his kingdom's work here on earth until he returns. That's what his plan was. The Jews, instead of being the separate or peculiar people that God wanted them to be, chose to pursue the ways of the world. They chose to pursue the gods of the nations around them, the idols of the nations around them, instead of pursuing and listening to the God of creation, who happens to be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. When they would stray from God, God would pursue them by sending them prophets to correct them. And instead of listening to the prophets, as we said in this parable, we were shown in this parable, they would reject them, often beating them, often imprisoning them, or killing them. And last of all, God sent unto them his Son, and after 3 years of openly presenting himself to his people and telling his people that he was indeed the Son of God, they crucified him on the cross. And from that point on, Brian, God's kingdom's work on earth is no longer accomplished by the Jews, but by a nation that speaks in various other tongues, languages.
Yes.
Okay. It says in the verse, it says, but by the Gentiles. Gentiles today of many different nations. Okay, of many different languages, preaching the same good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Mm-hmm. And when I say they're preaching the same good news of Jesus Christ to the world, that's including the Jews. Mm-hmm. They've got to get on board with the good news.
Got to.
So if we go back to 1 Corinthians 14:21, it tells us this: in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. This people is the Jews here. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Even the day when the Jews look across the expanse of this earth and when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ heralded by people of many different nations, tribes, and tongues, and they know that all this was birthed in their tiny little nation some 2,000 years ago. That's where the gospel was birthed. Despite them trying to quench it, even today they don't understand or believe that their Messiah and their rest, if they would accept him, has already come. And God even told them about these days in their own writings in the Old Testament. And listen to what Isaiah 28:11 tells them, and this is in their Bible, in their the Torah. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Okay, now that's speaking of the Jews. Isaiah said that's how he's going to speak to you. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. Speaking of what the world is now telling the Jews that Jesus the Messiah can accomplish for them too. And this is the refreshing. This is their refreshing. And the verse ends in Isaiah 28:11, yet they would not hear. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where we're at today. An event will come in the future, Brian, where they will hear.
They will hear.
They will hear, but not yet. Mm-hmm. And praise God, many Jews today believe in Christ.
Yes.
Many do, but there are a vast number who don't. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for just the privilege of opening your word, studying it, sharing it with our listening family over the airways. And again, Lord, we just say, let it go out and do whatever you will it to do and not return void. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.